If you have your Bibles, then we'll turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Most of you will immediately know what this says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen, amen, amen. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, when I felt like this is what the Lord was giving me, I was actually working on something else, and just I felt like the Lord quickened me to make a complete turnaround and switch to this message, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that Valentine's is sometime this week. Okay, so it just happened to be this is where the Lord directed me to this scripture. And it was not until later that I realized, this is Valentine's week, but that has nothing to do with this. So, amen, amen. 1 Corinthians, we're going to read the whole chapter because it's only 13 verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Now, if you're reading in your King James Version, it says charity. But you probably have a note there. If you have notes in your margins, it will tell you that actually this is love. I'm reading from the New King James today. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Everybody said amen. 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 I want to speak to us for a few moments this morning from this subject. Love keeps going. Love keeps going. Amen. Amen. Put your Bibles down. Let's love the Lord one more time with our voices, with our hearts, with our minds. Amen. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We thank you so much again for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for your kindness and blessings upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Clap your hands to Him one more time and give Him thanks. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Praise God, praise God. You may be seated here in the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the church at Corinth. He is writing and teaching in what we call chapter 12 about the church and spiritual gifts and ministries. Now, as with all the books of the Bible, except for the book of Psalms, there are no original divisions of chapters. Of course, Psalms are not chapters, they are Psalms. So here in Paul's letter, what goes from chapter 12 to 13 for us is really just a transition of thought in the original letter. In the last verse of chapter 12, verse 31, Paul writes, "But earnestly desire the greatest gifts, and yet I show to you a more excellent way. And then his next sentence in his letter, which for us is verse 1 of chapter 13, but it's merely just Paul's next sentence. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And Paul explains that if we have all these gifts and ministries, which are good and necessary for the church, but we are lacking in love, then we are nothing. Love is not a gift of the Spirit. Love is not a ministry that fits a certain few. Love is not in a category of gifts and ministry. Like we may say, oh, that person has the gift of faith, and that person has the gift of discernment. That person has the gift of the word of knowledge, or that person has such and such a gift. But I don't have that. And I don't have that, and I don't have that. You can't say that person has a gift of love, and I don't have that. It's not a gift. Love is the river on which the ship of Christianity sails. Without love, we're shipwrecked, individually and collectively. After establishing that gifts and ministry are nothing more than sounding brass and clanging cymbal without love, Paul attempts to define love in verses 4 through 7, and he tells us what love is by showing us what love does. There are 15 different phrases that the Apostle Paul shows us love in action. He uses to show us love in action. The first two, love is patient. Love is kind, and that sort of functions like the headline for what is to follow. And then there are 8 things that love doesn't do. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud or arrogant. And then Paul concludes with 5 things that love does do. 5 things that characterizes a person who really loves God and loves people. And he says, love rejoices in truth. It bears all things. And you could say in truth, because though it's not written here, it's implied. Love rejoices in truth. You could say love bears all things in truth. It believes all things, and you could say in truth. It hopes in all things, and you could say in truth. And it endures all things, and again, you could say in truth. And so I want to look at these for a moment here. Love rejoices in truth. What does that mean? First, it means that I rejoice in that I have found truth. Because I love God and I love His Word. 2, it means that I rejoice when others have found truth. Because I love people and I want to see people saved. And I rejoice when they find truth. And I rejoice when they accept truth, the truth of God's Word and the truth of the Gospel. And I rejoice when I see somebody say, hey, I see it. I that's what I want to do. I want to love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be baptized in His name. I want to live for God. And so I rejoice. Love rejoices in truth. And then 3, it means that if I have found truth, then I can truly worship, because Jesus said, true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So love rejoices in truth. And then he says, love bears all things, and again, in truth. What does that mean? It means that when I love God and I love people, that I will carry burdens that I don't have to carry. If we love God and we love people, then we will help carry burdens that are not our own. But here's the thing about carrying burdens. When you carry something, you're not just holding it, you're carrying it from one place to another. You're taking it to the Lord and you're saying, I'm bringing this burden from my brother, from my sister. I'm bringing this burden from so-and-so and I'm laying it at your feet, Lord. I'm taking it to you. I'm carrying it. I'm not holding it. I'm not holding on to it. I'm carrying it to the Lord. And I'm asking Him to take it and to intervene on their behalf. And so love bears all things. Amen. And then he says love believes all things. Amen. Again, the implication here is love believes all things in truth. What does it mean? It means that if I love God, I believe His word in its entirety and I will act upon it. I will obey it. Amen. Love believes all things. If I love God, if I love Him and I love His truth, His word, I'll act upon it. I will obey it. It means I trust Him. It means I believe in all things and for all things. It means I walk by faith and not by sight. It means I believe in His kingdom and I believe in His church. Amen. To say that love believes all things means I believe truth and I believe people can and will be saved. Amen. And then, it's these last two things that I want to talk about for a little while today. Love, first of all, love hopes all things. Love hopes all things. What does that mean? Paul says that this love of which he speaks always hopes. See, the world in which Paul lived was devoid of hope, much like our present day. Acts 16, Paul makes a great turn in his ministry when he gets a vision of a man in Macedonia. And in the vision, the man pleads, come and help us. Now, if there was ever a culture in the ancient world that didn't need help, in one sense, it was the Greek culture. They had everything. They had great philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. They had orators, men who could hold people spellbound for hours. They had architecture like the Parthenon, that magnificent temple built nearly 2,500 years ago that still astounds people today. They had the arts. They had their great plays. They had sports. They had huge stadiums in which athletes competed. One classical historian says of the Greeks that anything the Greeks needed, they had invented. Anything they wanted, they had it. But he was wrong in one sense. The one thing they did not have was hope. They didn't have hope. And because they did not have hope, they gave themselves to all kinds of indulgences. Sensual indulgences. And what was true of that culture, again, is true of our own. One historian put it this way, and I quote, on that sad pagan world, disgust and secret loathing fell. Deep weariness and satisfied lust made human life a hell. End quote. As Paul said, they were without God and they were without hope. And if there was one city in Greece that typified the hopeless condition of a people, it was the city of Corinth. Corinth was a great and thriving commercial center surrounded by two great seas. Ships came from all over, from all the parts of the world. And at the center of this city, there was a temple to the goddess Aphrodite, the goddess of fertility and sexuality. And we are told that at one time in Aphrodite's history, she had between 5,000 and 10,000 temple prostitutes to do her bidding. You can be sure that with that kind of activity, those sailors became easy converts to that religion. Moral people described, or despised rather, Corinth. They hated it. A Corinthian was understood as somebody who was totally debauched. Corinth was full of thieves, robbers, idolaters, and the perverted. It was moral darkness without hope. And then one day, a little Jewish man with bald head and poor eyesight from Tarsus showed up in the marketplace. And by his own admission, he felt weak. He said he was afraid to speak into that darkness the word of God, the word of hope, but he did. And I'm sure that at first those Corinthians that heard him walked away mocking him. But then some came to listen, perhaps to laugh, perhaps to mock, perhaps to find errors in what he was saying, but they stayed. And because of the message that this little Jewish man preached, the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, somehow it got a hold of some of those people. And those people cast themselves with reckless abandon upon God's truth and upon God's mercy and grace, and they were changed. And this message got into their hearts, and it grabbed a hold of them. Certainly the world pulled them. Certainly they lived among sin, a lot of sin and evil and wickedness. But they were changed. And Paul describes, he expresses that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." But watch what he says. "And such were some of you. But you were washed." Amen. "You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." In other words, Paul said, you were living in idolatry. You were living in sin. You were living in perverseness. You were living in all of that. And then I came. I'm nothing, but I came and I preached the gospel. And you believed. You were some of all that. You were adulterers. You were all of those things. You were liars and extortioners. You were drunkards. You were all of that. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were set apart. But you were justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. These people had been filthy, but because of Paul's preaching the gospel to them, and by their obedience to the gospel and being baptized in the name of the Lord and filled with the Holy Ghost, they were now clean. They had been unholy, but now they were sanctified and set apart to God. They who were wicked, and then because of the gospel preached, the judge of all the universe had declared that they were then righteous. They were changed. Amen. They were changed. You see, Paul's hope was not based on wishful thinking. Wishful thinking won't work. His hope for Corinth was based on his love of God, his love of truth, and his love of people. Amen. Amen. You see, we can wishfully think that our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors will embrace the gospel and be saved. But if we don't love them, if we don't love truth, and if we don't love God enough to reach out to them, it's just wishful thinking and it doesn't work. But the gospel of Jesus Christ changes people. Amen. It changes people. The filthy are cleansed. The unholy are set apart to God. The wicked are declared righteous. Whenever we see a woman or a man No matter who they are, we should never dismiss them as hopeless. Because love hopes in all things. If we take the gospel of Jesus Christ seriously, to say that someone is hopeless is to say that God can't save everyone. To look at a person and say, oh, they don't want this. They don't want this. I can tell by the way they're living. I can tell by the way they're talking. I can tell by the way they act and the things they do. They don't want this. We're saying they're hopeless. And if we say they're hopeless, then we say that God can't save everyone. And if He can't save everyone, then He can't save anyone. Certainly people make choices, their own choices. But love gives them that choice. Amen. We don't make the choice for them. We love them because we love God and we love His Word. We give them the choice. If they reject it, that's on them. Amen. Love always hopes. It always hopes. Love hopes for people who seem not to want it. Love hopes for people whom we assume don't deserve it. Love hopes for the salvation of the wicked. Love hopes for the soul of the abused and the abuser. Love hopes for the redemption of the unrighteous and the religiously wrong. Love hopes for the alcoholic. Love hopes for the wealthy and the wanting. Love hopes for the haughty and the humble. Love always hopes because love flows from God and God is love. Amen. And if we love God like He says we should, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we will love others. Amen. The second part of that commandment, He said, that should come right, that should flow along with the first. Amen. And so Paul says love hopes in all things, and then Paul says that love endures all things. Amen. Romans 8:28, we know this. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Right? Yeah. Now, if you think that this is a promise that gives you a pass on any kind of suffering or trials or troubles or tribulation, you're wrong. Right. A few verses later, Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen. And because He loved us, and I love Him, love endures all things. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Love doesn't quit. Love doesn't give up. Amen. It doesn't quit. Love endures. It endures. It doesn't quit. It doesn't give up. Paul said, because of love, I have labored abundantly. He says, I've suffered in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and am I not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? He says, I have dealt with everything that you've dealt with and more. He's basically saying, how many times have you been beaten? How many times have you been stoned? How many times have you been shipwrecked? He says, I endure the same things you endure. That's why I can say love endures all things. When Paul was beaten, he bled. When he was stoned, he groaned under the pain of rocks hitting and pounding his head, his back, and his limbs. When he was exposed to the elements, he froze. When he was in a shipwreck, he almost drowned. He dealt with the cold water. He dealt with the snake bite. He dealt with all these things. When he went without sleep, he suffered exhaustion. He knew what it was like to hunger and thirst, but love endures all things. Amen. What does that mean? It means that no matter what happens, no matter what I face, no matter what comes my way, I keep on loving God. I keep on going because I love the Lord and I love His Word. I keep on loving truth no matter what. I keep on believing no matter what. What if He doesn't answer? I keep on loving. I keep on believing. I keep on trusting. Love endures all things. And so love says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And then it says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Because love endures all things. Amen. For 2,000 years, Christians have suffered persecution, and yet it will only get worse. Amen. If you put your finger on any part of a world map or globe, it will bleed Christian blood. Let me tell you something. We read miracles in Scripture in the early days of the church in Acts. And you will find that there was one time that an angel came and opened the prison doors to the apostles that were in prison, right? Amen. But you'll also read a lot of times when they didn't. You'll read where an earthquake shook the foundations and the prison doors were open for the apostles. But there's a lot of times when it didn't happen. There's been a lot of times in the early church in that first century and from then on when there were no angels opening doors to prisons. Right? When there were no earthquakes shaking the foundations of the prisons that would open them up and God's people would walk out. No, they died there. Throughout history, since the birth of the church, you'll find times in history that no angel showed up. They're burned at the stake. No angel showed up. They were tortured. And yet they did not deny Christ. But no angel showed up. Why? Because love endures. all things. All things. Amen. And so, whether he shows up in my situation or not, love endures. Whether he answers in my tribulation or trial or not, love endures. Amen. Amen. It endures all things, no matter what happens. Love. If I really love the Lord, I'm not going to walk away. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to say I quit. Uh-uh. No, I will say with Micah, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. The Lord will be a light unto me when I sit in darkness. Oh, hallelujah. When you look at the life of the Lord, what's most impressive? Did he turn water to wine? No. That he walked on water? No. That he fed 5,000 with a few fish and bread? No. That he raised the dead? No. What was most impressive was that in that Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what it meant to go to the cross, he could say, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. And in saying that, and through love, he went into the darkness of the crucifixion, into the darkness of hell and the grave. It was holiness in hell. He was separated from the Father. He chose suffering over ease. He chose the cross over the comfort of heaven. Why? Because he loves you and me. He loves this community, this city. And love endures all things. Amen. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. Did you deserve it? No. None of us deserve it. We didn't deserve it. We deserved to be on Calvary, on the cross. Yeah. We didn't deserve him to die for us. Man. He was without sin. He was the spotless lamb of the Passover. Right? There was no guile found in him. Amen. But because love endures all things, he endured the cross, the suffering, the shame for you, for me. Amen. For your sins and for mine. And so with that kind of love, the Apostle Paul reaches out to those Corinthians, and by the way, you and I as well, in his letter to them and to us. And he says, look, this is what love is. He says, I know, look, you came from all of that mess that you're living in, and that surrounds you. You were in all of that. You were adulterers. You were fornicators. You were drunkards. You were perverted. You were all of those things. So were you and I. Paul says, but you're washed. Amen. You're sanctified. Hallelujah. And so then he gets into explaining, look, this. Let me help you out here. This is what love is. This is what love is not. This is what it is, and this is what it does. Amen. It's not arrogant. It's not pride. It doesn't boast. It's not any or all of those things. But here's what it does. It rejoices in truth. Amen. It rejoices in truth. It carries burdens. It hopes, right? And it endures. Amen. It endures. True love of God says, no matter what, No matter what people do, I'm going to love them. I'm going to give them an opportunity. If they don't accept it, I can't help that. Amen?
Amen.
If they reject the Lord, that's between them and God. But I have to love them.
Amen.
I'm going to love them. God, help me to love them. Amen?
Yes,
Amen. And then I'm going to love the Lord God so much. And I'm going to love His Word, His truth, so much that even if I have to endure tribulation, I will endure it because I love Him.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I know a lot of people have different theologies on whether or not we will face tribulation, all that. I'm not here to debate that today. But if you do, amen?
Amen.
I'm preparing my heart and mind to face it. Because of the things that Jesus said. But what happens if we here in good old USA begin to face tribulation, persecution, the likes of which we've never seen before?
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Will you be able, is your love for God strong enough to endure all things? We better learn to love Him with everything that's in us. And we better say no matter what. Amen. No matter what. And so, in closing, I want us to do one thing here. I want us to, everywhere where it says love, or charity in your translation there, I want you to put your name. Amen. In verse 4, where it says love suffers long, or charity suffers long and is kind, I want to put my name there. I want you to do the same. Cody Thompson suffers long. Is that true? Cody Thompson is kind. Is that true? Cody Thompson envies not, vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave himself unseemly, does not seek his own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. You putting your name there? Amen. Amen. But rejoices not in iniquity. Rejoices in truth. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. That kind of shines a different light on it, doesn't it? Amen. But see, if I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, I can put my name there and say, you know, I'm not perfect by no means, by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm working on this, you know, because I love Him. I'm hoping my love is love hopes in all things, right? And so I love Him, and so I can put my name there and say I'm trying there, you know. I'm working on that. He's working on me. Amen. And so Cody Thompson suffers long and is kind. He envies not. He vaunts not himself. Is not puffed up. Why? Because I love the Lord with all my heart. See, when I love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I can say, you know what? I may not be there yet, but I'm getting close. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Amen. Because He's good. He's God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Let's stand. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, love keeps going. Oh, praise God. It keeps going. It keeps going. Amen. What if I've invited people to church and they didn't come? It's okay. Love keeps going. Invite somebody else.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What if this and what if that? That's okay. Love keeps going. Keep on doing it. Keep on serving God. Keep on loving God. Keep on working. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said all these gifts, all these ministries, they're good. They're necessary. We need them in the church. Yes. They have their place. Yes. Amen. We don't want to cause confusion. We don't want everything must be done decently and in order. Covet the best gifts. Yes. The greatest gifts. Yes. But he said, let me help you out here. Love. 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 Amen. Love. Love is above everything. And if you don't have love, all the rest of it don't even matter. Because if you don't have love, godly love, love for God, love for people, love for the truth, nobody wants to hear all that other stuff. Because it don't make sense. It's just like one of these symbols over here. That if one of these symbols were broken and Colin hit it real hard with a stick, that's exactly what it sounds like if you want to display the gifts but you don't have love. Amen? Love. Love is above it. It's above all of that. God help us. Amen? I want to love the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to love the Lord. I want to love Him. I want to know Him. I want to love Him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Because love endures. It keeps on going. It keeps on going. It keeps on going. Praise God. I invite you to come to this altar area today. And I'm just going to ask we do something a little different that every one of us, if we can, let's crowd as close as we can get to this place. If you physically are able to. If you're not, I understand. But let's get in this whole altar area this morning and let's just begin to love the Lord. Let's begin to love the Lord. Let's talk to Him. Let's worship. Let's pray, God, give me a love for You like I've never known, that I've never had before. Let me love You with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, Lord, with everything that's in me. Lord, let me love You. Lord, let me love You. Let me love You. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Because love changes everything. Love changes everything. Love changes everything. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God, help us. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Let's cry out to God. Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts and minds. Let's ask God to speak to our hearts and minds this morning.
Jesus.
Jesus in Your name. Jesus in Your name. Jesus in Your name.